Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
With my colleague and friend Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Lebanon, in the news. The assault by the Lebanese Hezbollah since October 8th has evacuated the north of Israel, 60,000, 80,000 people out of their homes. The prime minister has said, we will retaliate for these provocations until and if those people return to their homes. Now the story is much larger because of the air war these last days. I go to the other side, the worst case scenario. The United Kingdom has announced it has military personnel on the island of Cyprus prepared to evacuate thousands from Lebanon, probably dual citizens, but in any event, lots of British citizens. The United States has not made a comparable announcement, but I have information that there are units in place in Israel or nearabouts that are consistent with air traffic control. That would be NEOs, similar to what we saw not work in Afghanistan. Haneen, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Because they're ready to evacuate, where are we in this conflict? How close are we to worst case scenario? Good evening to you, Haneen.
Good evening to you, John, and thank you for having me again. So this is of course necessary at this point because it can go both ways, right? It can the U.S. French or international suggestion that came out yesterday to start negotiation after a 20-day truce. If the parties accept it, or if the parties at the end of the day reach at least a truce, then there's no need to fear evacuation. But the other scenario, which seems to be more likely, is a continuation of this momentum of daily strikes and assassinations by the Israelis in Lebanon, and Hezbollah expanding its strikes in Israel as well. We saw that they hit Haifa, and they also got very close to Tel Aviv 2 days ago. So there, this might expand. This might become a serious war where people want to leave. So far, it's still focused on Hezbollah facilities, Hezbollah's headquarters, Hezbollah personnel. However, if we think of what happened in 2006, where the Lebanese infrastructure started to get hit, like highways and the airport, then people will be stuck. And this is what the international community is afraid of, that the war might expand from just focusing on Hezbollah's arsenal to Lebanon's infrastructure. And so far, it doesn't look like it, but it's a possibility. An evacuation will be an issue at this point. So they have to prepare. It's something that they need to do.
Haneen Gadar is the Friedman Senior Fellow at the Washington Institute's Linda and Tony Rubin Program on Arab Politics. Malcolm?
How do you evaluate the internal dynamics now within Hezbollah and in broader Lebanon? How will they respond to a ceasefire if Hezbollah is not seen as the lead of the resistance movement? Does that invite both internal dissension, but also a lessening of their influence in Lebanon?
Yes, absolutely. I think what Hezbollah is going through now is a real dilemma. First, they are shocked. They are under serious shock after they realize that they are inefficient. After Israel broke their communication system, infiltrated them with intelligence. Israel has the upper hand on every level. Israel has the upper hand military superiority, intelligence, infiltration, capability of really breaking Hezbollah's leadership and command center, and also the communication system. We saw what happened with the phones and the pagers and talkie-walkies earlier. And this is something that Hezbollah was not expecting, especially the pagers part. The, without communication system, without a proper communication system, it's very difficult for Hezbollah to actually conduct a serious response or an expansion of the war. So Hezbollah is still trying to assess its losses. It's still trying to assess how infiltrated they are, because they cannot replace with their leadership, the commanders that have been killed, with someone they do not trust. They need to clear this before they actually replace people. But the most difficult part is that they're losing their military infrastructure. Israel has expanded its target, its banks of targets from the north of Litani all over Lebanon. They're hitting even Hezbollah's weapon depots in Christian areas. There's no differentiation now. They're going after Hezbollah big time. So Hezbollah has a very important existential, I would say, question to answer, and they're still trying to figure out the answer. I don't think they have a decision yet. Is that what is more important? And this is a question for the Iranians as well. What is more important? Is it Hezbollah's arsenal, strength, and existence, or their threat to the North? So is the North really worth it? So this is the main question today. Is the North really worth it? And Hezbollah has to decide, has to make a decision. Iran has to make a decision if Hezbollah is more important than the North. And when Israel expands to really hit Iran's military assets in Lebanon, that is Hezbollah's precision-guided missiles, this is where it becomes serious. And I think they will get there, as the next step would be hitting Iran's assets in Lebanon if they want Iran to push Hezbollah to accept. And this is a big, to decouple the Lebanese front from the Gaza front. It's something that Hezbollah has clearly refused to do from the very beginning of the war. And this is what this campaign is about, to get Hezbollah to actually accept to decouple the two fronts and say, let's have a ceasefire through diplomatic negotiations, regardless of the ceasefire in Gaza. This is what Israel wants at this point, and to bring the citizens back to the north safely, which means not just a ceasefire, it's a serious implementation of United Nations Security Resolution 1701, which ended the 2006 war. Basically, what's happening today is that this initiative by the UN, by the US and the international community, is pushing Hezbollah to accept this, offering Hezbollah a breather, a fig leaf, basically, to save face and say that they be able to back down from their promise not to separate the two fronts without really looking bad, without this kind of humiliation and defeat. Israel seems to want them to be humiliated, defeated, and they want Hezbollah and Iran to accept this truce or negotiations under fire, not while negotiations is happening. And that's the difference between the U.S. approach and the Israeli approach. The U.S. is trying to reach a conclusion, reach a settlement through diplomacy and truce, while the Israelis feel that they have a momentum, they are being successful, and Hezbollah is more pressured, so why stop now? And that's the difference between the two approaches. Of course, internally, you asked about the internal dynamics. Internally, it is a big political moment.
We have 30 seconds, Hanin. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
The Lebanese obviously are blaming Hezbollah for this, and the opposition has a responsibility today to unite and form a strong front against Hezbollah internally, politically. But the most important part is that Hezbollah is losing the Shia support. They're blaming them, and they can't understand why they are left alone while Hezbollah is sending their families to Iraq. They are abandoned.
Hanin Gadar, the Friedman Senior Fellow, Washington Institute's Linda and Tony Rubin Program in Arab Politics, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.